Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to the live internet broadcast of Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. Today is Tuesday, December 6th of 2022, and we're talking about the seven plagues prophecy in the Book of Revelation. I invite you to listen live at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time today to our program. And in December of 2022, we have analysis and discussion of the seven plagues prophecy with me, your Book of Revelation research scientist, happening live on PGN on Sundays at 12 p.m. Central Time and on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Central Time. You're invited to share your perspective, to pose a question, or present your prayer request during the live broadcast. Also, you can text in your questions about the Book of Revelation 24/7. To reach us by text, please use the PGN text number, which is 1-214-505-8719. That's 1-214-505-8719. How that works is that your text will go to Prophet Randy Chandler. When he receives it, he will share it with me. And if it's during the live broadcast, I will respond immediately. If I get it later, I'll respond on a future internet broadcast. You can also connect one-on-one using the PGN phone number. If you're new to PGN, I want to share that you can use the phone number simply to listen to the broadcast live, or you can use it as a way to connect if you want to talk with whoever the host is, in this case me, during the PGN broadcast. Our PGN phone number that's available for use during any of our live internet broadcasts, that phone number is 1-319-527-6027. Also, as you may know, if you are a longtime PGN listener, but maybe you're a new truth seeker tuning in for the first time, everything on PGN Prophetic Grace Network is absolutely 100% free. There is no merchandising of the Word of God on PGN. I am against it. Prophet Randy Chandler is against it. We're excited to get you ministry for free at no cost and information at no cost. And so if you'd like the basic study notes to accompany this episode of Secrets Revealed, understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish, you can go to blogtalkradio.com. blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic. And if you go to the date of this broadcast, the second slide will have the one-page basic study notes that accompany this particular talk. And so please feel free to use that resource and to connect to this show every Tuesday and every Sunday. We'll be talking about the seven plagues prophecy this month. Briefly, let me share with you the exciting plan that God has given us for 2023. So we are going with the statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. And by my analysis, there are 12 statements of prophecy. We are going month by month in the order that they appear in the Book of Revelation, beginning with January of 2023. Doing every broadcast of Secrets Revealed, understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish on the first statement of prophecy, that's the seven seals prophecy in the Book of Revelation. In February, we'll go to the second statement of prophecy, the seven trumpets prophecy. In March, we'll go to the third statement of prophecy, the 1,260 days prophecy. In April, we'll go to the 666 Antichrist prophecy. In May, we'll talk about the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. In June, the earth reaped prophecy. In July, the seven plagues prophecy. In August, the purple and scarlet prophecy. In September, the marriage supper prophecy. In October, the millennial reign prophecy. In November of 2023, the dead judge prophecy. And in December of 2023, we will end our discussion looking at all of the statements of prophecy from start to finish with the new earth prophecy. So you might say, I don't have a lot of time to study the book of Revelation, or I find that it's a very complex book and that it's a challenge to understand and remember all of the information. And the learning experts tell us that we need about seven touches, seven experiences with meaningful information in order to be able to retrieve it on demand. It's one thing to hear information and understand it. It's another thing entirely to be able to successfully retrieve that information when you want to, in order to be able to recall it at will. So one of the ways that you can get this information about the book of Revelation into your long-term memory and into your brain and your heart and your soul, your mind, will, and emotions in a way that is effective is to hear it presented over and over again in different ways. And that's easy to do by tuning into this internet broadcast. You can listen live or you can go to the archive. When I look at our PGN statistics, I see that many of you listen by downloading from Apple Podcasts. Some people use Podcast Addict, and there's some other sites. Whatever is easiest for you to connect to PGN is what is a good thing. So I encourage you to plan ahead. Think about how you can fit PGN and the ministry information and programs into your life so that you're constantly hearing the word of God, you're getting the one-on-one ministry that is useful to you as you grow in your knowledge of the word and you continue on your love walk with the Lord. So let us get into the book of Revelation. So today we're talking about the seven plagues prophecy. It is the seventh of 12 statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. It includes chapters 15 and 16. I want to begin with the full report. So in chapter 15, which has eight verses, we have the movie trailer in words. And then in chapter 16, we have the full movie, if you will, the full report. So I like to explain the geography of the book of Revelation. That's so important. It's not a novel that starts at time one and ends at time two. It includes many different pieces, and the statements of prophecy comprise the bulk of the book of Revelation, and they're essentially 12 recordings that culminate with the same event. So imagine that you were going to the upcoming presidential inauguration and that in addition to you going, I was going, your neighbor was going, Randy Chandler is going, and let's say 12 of us in total are going to the upcoming inauguration, and we are each given a device to record the events leading up to the presidential inauguration. And we're told that due to constraints, we're limited to making a video of, let's say, 30 minutes or less. So there's a lot of time that is passing from now until the next presidential election or inauguration, and ultimately, what I include in my 30-minute documentary and what you include in your 30-minute documentary and what Randy would include in his 30-minute documentary would not be exactly the same. Yet, all of our documentaries would be focused on the presidential election and inauguration, but we each have to make hard decisions about what really do we want to focus on. And if a person watched all 12 of our documentaries, because they'd be coming from different perspectives, because they would be likely following different but authentic narratives reflecting realities that happen, that would be a good way for a person to get a relatively complete picture of something really important. So how does that connect to the book of Revelation? It connects in this way. Ultimately, Jesus Christ is returning to this present earth as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He will descend from the clouds. He will fight and win a war waged in righteousness in Israel. That war is called the Battle of Armageddon. Upon winning that war, he will establish his government. And it says in Isaiah chapter 9, and of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. And so when we look at the book of Revelation, we have 12 documentaries in words. They're called statements of prophecy about the events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. And most of the statements of prophecy focus either primarily or exclusively on the Great Tribulation period, by my analysis, 7 of the 12. But some go beyond his second coming. For example, the marriage supper prophecy is a detailed report about the Battle of Armageddon. The millennial reign prophecy is a report of what happens in 1,000 years, what happens in the first 1,000 years after the return of Jesus Christ. And in the New Earth prophecy, we find out what happens after the end of the world, when we transition from the present earth to the new earth. And so today we are focusing on the seven plagues prophecy. Let's get some context very quickly so we can go to the statement of prophecy about when this is happening and why. Coming up in our future is something called the confirmation of the covenant. That will be when nations of the world get a peace agreement that will give the green light to Israel to rebuild its third temple. So Israel has been waiting since 70 AD to rebuild its temple in Jerusalem. For many reasons, due to war, due to Israel not being reestablished for hundreds of years until 1948, lots of things have gotten in the way of that, but the Bible prophesies that indeed the third temple will be rebuilt, and that will happen after what's called the confirmation of the covenant. 3.5 years later, after the confirmation of the covenant, what's the covenant? That's the covenant that God made between himself and the people of Israel through Abraham, saying that I give this land to you and your descendants, and actually establishing the boundaries of that land. And so the nations of the world will get Israel and Palestine to agree that Israel can rebuild its temple, and they will say the Muslims will worship on the Temple Mount in their mosque, and the Jews will worship in their temple on the Temple Mount. And the world will say, finally, peace at last. But 3.5 years later, 3.5 years after the confirmation of the covenant, The Antichrist will be revealed to the world in its entirety when he announces that he is in fact God, and that no longer will there be the animal sacrifices that have been occurring in Israel's rebuilt temple, and that he will bring peace to the world, and that the way he's going to do this is to destroy Israel. So that's going to be a total about face. He will go from someone who appeared to champion Israel and the Jewish people to being the person who leads another Jewish Holocaust. You say, research scientists, how dare you talk about another Jewish Holocaust? God forbid. Absolutely. Absolutely, this is a horrible thing. This is not something that we look forward to. But the Bible tells us that every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is true and sure to come to pass. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we must prepare for those things that are to come. Now, how does this seven plagues prophecy fit in? When the Antichrist stands in the rebuilt temple declaring that he is God, this is called the abomination that makes it desolate, the abomination of desolation. When he does this, that marks the beginning of the 1,260 days Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation, as you may know, is the wrath of Satan. The Great Tribulation, as described in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, that's the 666 Antichrist prophecy, and as described in chapter 12, the 1,260 days prophecy, the Great Tribulation involves the Antichrist in tandem with the false prophet waging war against both Israel and the saints, those who are Christians, those of us whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, it's important to understand that the Great Tribulation is a time, a period of crisis, according to the book of Matthew, like the world has never seen and like we will never, ever have again on this earth. The Great Tribulation cannot be prayed away. It is surely coming, and it is followed, this wrath of Satan is followed by the wrath of God. Let me say that again. The wrath of Satan, which is Satan waging war against both Israel and Christians simultaneously, is followed by the wrath of God. Well, what is the wrath of God? The wrath of God is God using strategies to bring the enemies of God to their feet and ultimately to destroy them. So let us hear the seven plagues prophecy, which talks about the wrath of God and what the enemies of God will experience. These plagues in the seven plagues prophecy are the seven final plagues, and they culminate. The seventh plague reflects multiple occurrences, all a part of a singular event, which is the Battle of Armageddon. So let's hear about the six plagues leading up to the seventh plague. Keep in mind that the seventh plague aligns with the seventh trumpet. So the seventh trumpet war in the seven trumpets prophecy is the Battle of Armageddon. And we see here in the seven plagues prophecy a description of many of the occurrences that happened during the Battle of Armageddon. So let's hear the full report of the seven plagues prophecy. The movie trailer in words appears in chapter 15. It's followed by the movie in its entirety in words in chapter 16, I want to start with chapter 16. Reading from the New Living Translation, here is the seven plagues prophecy. Then I heard a mighty voice from the temple say to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath. So the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth, and horrible, malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and everything in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs, and they became blood. And I heard the angel who had authority over all water saying, you are just, O Holy One, who is and who always was, because you have sent these judgments since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets. You have given them blood to drink. It is their just reward. And I heard a voice from the altar saying, yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, your judgments are true and just. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Everyone was burned by this blast of heat, and they cursed the name of God, who had control over all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. His subjects ground their teeth in anguish, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pains and sores. But they did not repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings from the east could march their armies toward the west without hindrance. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. They are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God the Almighty. Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple saying, it is finished. Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck, the worst since people were placed on the earth. The great city of Babylon split into three sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So God remembered all of Babylon's sins, and he made her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island disappeared, and all the mountains were leveled. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds fell from the sky onto the people below. They cursed God because of the terrible plague of the hailstorm. That is the full report of the seven plagues prophecy. Let's revisit, what are each of the seven final plagues? Plague number one, malignant sores that go on every person who has the mark of the beast. So plague number one, malignant sores on everyone who has the mark of the beast and who worships his statue. So we know that is happening after the beginning of the Great Tribulation period. And remember, the wrath of Satan, which is the Great Tribulation period, is followed by the wrath of God. Now, what is the second plague that we heard? So the second plague, similar to plagues that we saw used by Moses and Aaron, all of the sea turns to blood and everything in the sea dies. And in the third plague, there's escalation of blood in the waters from just the sea to now also the rivers and the springs. It says in Revelation chapter 16, verse 4, the rivers and springs become blood. And then continuing, the fourth of the seven final plagues is when the sun becomes so hot that it scorches individuals with its fire, its heat. We know that these individuals are not those who have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We say, research scientists, how do we know that? We know that because it says they did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. Those who are in Christ do repent of their sins and do give God glory. The fifth of the seventh final plagues is a blackout. So the throne of the beast, the Antichrist, will be in a specific location. That location will require power. In the same way that you need power for your home, we need power at our place of work. And so the power, maybe you've experienced a blackout before, but certainly you understand what a blackout is. And so the actual location where the Antichrist reigns will experience a blackout. So that's described in Revelation 16, verse 10. That's the fifth and final plague. Now, when we get to the sixth plague, we are very close to the Battle of Armageddon. So what is the sixth plague? This is when supernaturally, the river Euphrates will be dried up. Now, if you look in the news, different things have happened with a dam in Turkey related to the river Euphrates. And there have been reports of changes in the river, but the river will be dried up according to prophecies, this prophecy here in the book of Revelation, for the purpose of bringing the enemies of Israel, the enemies of God, to a specific location. That location is where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought in Israel. And those individuals in the armies of the Antichrist will take the path of the dried up river Euphrates, believing that they are going to fight and win an easy war. At that point, the number of those remaining in Israel will be relatively small, yet the number of the armies, with an S, of the 10-nation alliance and those who support them will no doubt be very large. And so they're thinking that they are going to take Israel out for once and for all. The Antichrist, under the inspiration of Satan and working in tandem with the false prophet, but in fact, they are going to their demise. They are going to what the Bible refers to as the marriage supper. So the sixth and final plague is literally the entry ramp to the Battle of Armageddon. They take this path that is prophesied thousands of years before it will happen, but I believe it will happen in many of the lifetimes of those of us who are listening to this broadcast. They will take this path to their demise. Now, what is the seventh and final plague? You heard it. The Bible is especially clear here. It says that they are going to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. That's verse 16 of chapter 16 of the book of Revelation. And immediately after saying that they're going to a place called Armageddon, we get a description of the seventh angel pouring out his bowl and some of the events happening during the Battle of Armageddon. Let's hear what some of these events are as described in verses 17 to 21. During the Battle of Armageddon, there will be a shout from the throne that says it is finished. There will be thunder that crashes and rolls. Lightning will flash. There will be a great earthquake. How great is it? The Bible says specifically it's the worst earthquake since people were placed on the earth. So it's the strongest earthquake of all time. Also, we're told that during the Battle of Armageddon, the great city of Babylon will split into three sections. Now, in August of 2023, as you may know, in our planned schedule, we'll be talking about the Purple and Scarlet Prophecy. In the Purple and Scarlet Prophecy, in chapters 17 and 18 of the book of Revelation, it's a full report on this part of the Battle of Armageddon. What happens to Babylon? Who is Babylon? Where is Babylon? So here we just get a snapshot, but we're told that part of the activities, the events that happen during the Battle of Armageddon is that the great city of Babylon will split into three sections. And also the cities of many nations will fall into heaps of rubble. It goes on to say that every island will disappear. Interestingly, in my research of preparing for next year, I have found that that location, Babylon, actually has many islands, which I didn't know. So I'm excited to share that with you and everyone when we get to that. And now it says about those islands, every island will disappear, and all of the mountains. So where's Babylon, the city with seven hills? It says all of the mountains were leveled. What else happens during the Battle of Armageddon? There's a terrible hailstorm, and the hailstones will weigh as much as 75 pounds. Now, let's talk about this seventh and final plague. We hear earlier about three individuals related to these activities. In verse 13, of chapter 16, it says, "And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet." Let's define those three individuals. That's very important. The dragon is Satan, that primeval serpent. So you might say, research scientists, how do we know? I think that the dragon is China. We know because in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, the dragon is defined for us. Let me pull that up so that I can share that with you. So in the millennial reign prophecy, the dragon is defined for us. The dragon is mentioned several places in the book of Revelation, but there's an explicit definition of the dragon in the millennial reign prophecy. Let me share that with you. So it says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, "He sees the dragon, that old serpent who is the devil, Satan, and bound him in chains for 1,000 years. So this is after the Battle of Armageddon, after This is after the Battle of Armageddon. Satan gets into hand-to-hand combat with an angel. He loses, and he's thrown into the abyss. But for our key focus right now, we clearly hear and understand that the dragon is, as it says in the Bible, that old serpent who is the devil, Satan. Now, what about these other two individuals? So in verse 13, we hear about the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. The beast is the Antichrist. So in the 666 Antichrist prophecy in chapter 13, the beast is described two ways as the 10-nation alliance, which includes the bear, the lion, and the leopard. The beast is described as in two ways, as the 10-nation alliance that will dominate economic and political affairs during the Great Tribulation period. And the beast is also described as the mouthpiece for the 10-nation alliance, who is the Antichrist. And so here it says, I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. So where did these evil spirits come from? They came from Satan. They came from the Antichrist and the false prophet. So the false prophet and some of his key actions are also described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. The false prophet will work in tandem with the Antichrist to bring to pass the purposes of Satan. So what about these seven plagues and the fact that the seventh and final plague refers to a multiplicity of events that occur during the Battle of Armageddon? Importantly, the Battle of Armageddon is described in great detail in the marriage supper prophecy. So we're in chapters 15 and 16 where we hear about these seven plagues. So note that the Battle of Armageddon is only the seventh plague. There are six plagues that lead up to it. So this prophecy is bigger than just the Battle of Armageddon. Nonetheless, the Battle of Armageddon is very important. This is the war to end all wars. So it makes sense that it has its own statement of prophecy. Now, where is it? It's in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. So let's talk about the marriage supper prophecy briefly. Before the marriage supper, there's the marriage. So before dinner, usually there's breakfast or lunch or both. Before we have a marriage supper or a wedding feast, we have a marriage or a wedding. And so in his genius and creativity and splendor, God gives this beautiful language to communicate secrets about his second coming to us. And so the marriage of the Lamb is the first resurrection. It's when God gets his forever family, when the earth and its crop is harvested. So, of course, there's the harvest of earth's crop, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the sheep, the good fish, the wheat. And then there's another harvest, which is not a part of the first resurrection. These are individuals who do not become a part of God's forever family. They do not have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are among the bad fish that are thrown out. They are among the tares or weeds that ultimately will be burned in fire. They are the goats. They are the children of Satan. And those who are here during the Great Tribulation, who bear the mark of the beast, are the children of Satan. So, again, before the marriage supper, there's the marriage. That's the first resurrection. Now, why does this matter in a conversation, in a discussion about the seven plagues prophecy? So if the seventh and final plague is the Battle of Armageddon, what does that mean for the first resurrection? The first resurrection necessarily happens before the seventh and final plague. Necessarily. Because the seventh and final plague is the marriage supper, which is the Battle of Armageddon. And before the marriage supper is the marriage, which is the first resurrection. You might say, I don't know, I've never heard that before. Or can you back that up with scripture? Yes. Let us not rely on our opinions or what we've heard. Let's go to the Bible to see what it says. So I'm going to the marriage supper prophecy, which begins with verse 6 of chapter 19, and it ends with verse 21. It says, reading from the New Living Translation, "Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, or the roar of mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus." Okay, now we're going into the full report after hearing the abstract for the marriage supper prophecy. Here it is, beginning with verse 11 of chapter 19 and going to verse 19. You're going to hear the full report on the Battle of Armageddon. Here it is. It says, "Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worship his statue. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse, and the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. So this was a description of the war to end all wars, the Battle of Armageddon. It's referred to in this translation as the wedding feast. And as you could hear, in contrast to what I heard so many times, it's not a feast for the saints where we dine on macaroni and cheese and fried fish with Jesus, or perhaps you might imagine that we would have a steak with Brussels sprouts, or maybe your favorite would be chicken and rice. Certainly, we know that in our glorified bodies, we will have the ability to eat, because when Jesus rose from the dead in his glorified body, he requested food and he ate. But the wedding feast, the marriage supper, is not about us dining with Jesus. It is specifically about God waging and winning a war that's waged in righteousness. And the wedding feast, the word feast or banquet, refers to God's cleanup plan for the 180 miles of blood that will flow from outside the city. What city? The city where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. So in the earth reaped prophecy, we hear that 180 miles of blood will flow. That's in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. And here, also talking about the Battle of Armageddon in the marriage supper prophecy, we're told what's in that 180 miles. In verse 18, it says, the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute. Doesn't that mean us, the saints? No. No, it doesn't. Because the marriage supper happens after the marriage. So the marriage of the Lamb, described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is the resurrection. When you, every truth seeker who has found and followed God's plan for salvation, has his or her name written in the Lamb's book of life, and at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, you will, if you are on the earth, you will transition from mortality to immortality, from a corruptible body to an incorruptible body, from this decaying body that houses your spirit and your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, to inhabiting your perfected, glorified body. Your peak performance body that is free of DNA errors. The Bible says that the sins of the father are visited upon the sons up to the fourth generation. When you go to see the doctor, they ask for your history. And then they say, well, what about your mother, your father, cousins, grandfather? And they keep going on and on about what has happened to others in their lives with respect to their physical health. And so even those in the secular world understand that somehow there's a connection between the actions of our foremothers and forefathers and what is happening in us and with us. But praise God, there's an answer. And that answer is a perfected, glorified body, the body that will allow you to live on this present earth and the new earth to come. And so let's go back to the seven plagues prophecy. What does it all mean? It means this. During the time of the Great Tribulation, we are called to face it and to stay in fidelity with our faith, to endure persecution, to witness for Jesus, to preach the word of God, even upon pain of death, knowing that no thing, not even death, which the Bible refers to as merely falling asleep, can separate us from the love of God. And in fact, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those who are in Christ. When the period of the great tribulation happens, many will be distressed. And some will no doubt say, we've got to pray this away, but we are not going to be able to pray away the 1,260 days of crisis where the Antichrist will grow in dominion. He will grow in authority, but his strength, his authority, his dominion has an appointed end point. At the appointed time, the wrath of Satan, implemented by both the Antichrist and the false prophet, will come to an end. The wrath of God, which are the seven final plagues, will begin, and they will culminate with the battle of Armageddon. And so I hope that this has been an interesting and exciting discussion for you. It certainly has been for me. I am excited about that first resurrection that precedes the seventh and final plague. Let me read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 what will happen. In verse 16 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, it says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever." And so this first resurrection is the marriage of the Lamb. It's that point in time where God gets in its entirety from those who remained on the earth and those who are in the storage tank referred to as heaven. He gets all of us whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we join him in our perfected, glorified bodies. Jesus Christ is already in his perfected, glorified body, a body that can never, ever die. He's the firstborn of the dead, and every person who is a part of the bride of Christ, the church, the saints, the good fish, the wheat, we will all put on our perfected, glorified bodies. And in that way, when that happens, we become members of the royal race. The wedding occurs, the marriage of the Lamb at last happens, and we will forever be with Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, and we will forever inhabit our forever bodies, our glorified bodies, our immortal bodies, our incorruptible bodies, and we will be on this present earth ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ for the first 1,000 years of his government, and we will continue after the end of the world onto the new earth, which is the beginning of eternity future, what the new earth prophecy refers to as the eternities of eternities. So, friend, I hope that that encourages you. This show is for every truth seeker. On Sunday, we will have continued discussion and analysis of the seven plagues prophecy. I encourage you, according to Jeremiah 33:3, to call out to God, because he will show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.